This podcast is not rated. Listener discretion advised.
Mission 250.
Welcome to the Mission 250 Filmcast. We have watched a crap ton of movies already. We've watched old movies, new movies, movies in color, movies without color, movies with sound, movies without sound. We've done all of it. We have a palette for it. Believe it or not, guys, you're looking at me skeptically.
Movies in languages we don't understand.
Yes, that's true. And this week we are doing one of those ones, and one of those epic ones, and one of those black and white ones. It's number 19 on the top 250, so it is, you know, it's up there. 1954, wow. Seven Samurai. 19.
Is this the oldest film now going forward? Is there any older film going forward?
Good question.
That is a good question. I think, so we skipped It's a Wonderful Life, which is a little earlier, so no there. Like, we're going to watch that one.
We're just waiting for Christmas.
But this is, 12 Angry Men is 57, so yeah, this one's older than that. So this is the oldest one.
Aside from It's a Wonderful Life, yeah.
Yeah, and this movie.
But we skipped It's a Wonderful Life, so as far as like this is the oldest. So
highest, if you're going to raise
oldest, highest, yes. Yeah.
If you had a little bar that ticked down and then moved around, this would be the tick that stayed where it was, sort of.
Exactly.
Thing.
This is the oldest, highest, oldest film.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we get it. It doesn't make any sense, but this all makes sense.
This is lower than my typical threshold for the 60s.
Yeah, exactly. Black and white. Yeah, right.
Black and white.
Pre-60s, black
language,
and white.
Over 2 hours long.
You know?
Yeah.
Well over 2 hours
long. Taking all those boxes to have you like not finish watching it.
Yeah. And I did something I don't typically do, but I think I've actually had to have said that a couple times recently where I texted you guys being like, give your guys a chance. Right.
Put
this
phone
one.
Down. Yeah. Right. I know.
Shut off the computer. Make sure that you're not going to be being yelled at the entire time by somebody. You know,
kind of impossible, but trying. Yeah.
So hopefully that helped.
I probably made it about 80%. I had about 20% distraction.
Okay, that's damn good for 3.5 hours.
Which isn't bad for 4 hours. Yeah right. Yeah.
Did the warning actually make you change your methods there? Would it have been less if I hadn't texted you?
Oh no, I disregarded you entirely.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Cool.
I do everything Jenny tells me to do.
I mean, absolutely.
I tried my best.
Yeah, yeah. So let's bring up that timer here, TC. You get to pick how many seconds think this movie deserves.
We're going 20 so that you start by 15 or so.
We're doing 20.
We got to keep it the same. You don't get any 20, preferential treatment because you're old.
Well, we started at 15, then we went 19. Now we're at 20, I guess. I don't know. Right. That's not really keeping it.
Well, no, I think we start around 20 every time now just so that we have 5 second lead in and then go.
Okay. Now, so I think we're just going to start doing it blind and I'm going to point to John.
Is Are we 20, going, John?
Is 20
seconds
pointing
ready?
At me.
Yeah, I'm
you're
ready.
Not pointing
ready?
At me.
Where's the timer? I don't
John,
see it.
John, you're up first.
He said he's pointing at me.
I'm going to go.
He's a liar.
2 seconds. Ready?
All right, John, we got 2 seconds.
Fine. Okay. Another masterpiece. Not as action oriented as I thought it might be, but you can clearly see how influential it is. I really like this. I found it really engaging. I like the characters. I like the action sequences were amazing. It was good.
Look at that.
Well
20 seconds.
Well done, John. Yeah. Right on the mark. Yep.
All right, TC, you up next.
All right, Denny, you up? All right, I'll go up. I'll go up next. Yeah, agree with John. Masterpiece, masterfully done. The characters were awesome. The story was awesome. The fluid motion of it was great. Even though it was 4 hours long almost, I still had a blast. I thought it was fantastic, and I really liked that main character. And the older samurai, those guys were awesome. And then the guy with the face takes the kid.
The guy with the face. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, Yoey. Or Yeo or whatever his name is. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. 20 seconds. Ready?
All right. Ready?
So I got about halfway into this movie and I was like, all right, this movie's old and kind of not slow, but it's old. It's black and white. And knowing you guys, I was like, and I was really into it. I was like, the characters are what is bringing me along with the story, but the editing is there too. To like, it doesn't feel old. Like the editing is fast and it,
right.
For a 3.5 hour long movie, it doesn't feel long. Yeah.
Yeah. The editing, it's a good call out that the editing feels modern.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, it was really so cool. It was so good. Mm-hmm. It was, and I mean, it was fluid. And some of those cuts, I mean, the masterful DP.
I was
wondering,
back in the days of film.
Perfect framing. Right. It looked perfect. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was unbelievable. The amount of attention to detail on what they were framing and how that led into the next frame was impressive.
And what, and so they just, actually. This movie, yeah. To get into trivia immediately, started the multi-camera way of shooting. So there were things that he could only do once on set. And,
that makes sense.
But they wanted to get the coverage, so he had three cameras set up for a lot of those, and this is the first time.
Newish?
So, like, everyone says that it was new. I didn't have a chance to look it up, but the commentary track and the documentary were like, that was a new technique that he created with this movie.
To use more than one camera was new, because that's the standard now, right?
Right.
I mean, unless you're really on
the think that's why it seems so modern, because, like, the edits are really good, but they're going from the same take, basically. It's not like they're editing action to different shots.
So the continuity's perfect.
Right.
Of course, because it's one take.
Right.
And that's all we got.
And it looks really good. And they didn't just do three cameras with like the same zoom. They would plan it out to be like, all right, I want you to zoom in on his character during this shot. We'll have like one guy do a wide one and then another guy doing something else. And they would actually not just have static cameras. The cameraman would be doing like interactive things. Because if you watch those action scenes, the cameras are like, sometimes they're moving, they're panning, they're zooming, they're doing lots of stuff. And it's all planned, and they did lots of practice to like get it right. But I agree, like the action scenes were damn incredible in this movie. It was really, and like the violence was kind of realistic seeming. The lack of soundtrack during the action stuff.
Oh, this whole movie was hyper-realism, right? It was just unbelievable realism.
Like, there was no blood or anything, but the stabbing with the bamboo sticks, I was like, oh God, that would suck.
Yeah, I mean, that was one thing about the realism is that when you stabbed, you died.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was like they stabbed, they died. Yeah. It's like, which would pretty much happen in real life if you're getting stuck with one of those goddamn things. Or those samurai swords. I mean, you stab it, that's it. Yeah. You're dead.
Yep.
Next, we move on to the next guy. And I mean, just the whole part about the swords and how they didn't have any guns and then the guns and then they had to go get the guns. And then that was part of the story. And you were like riding it along with them the entire time. And it was that slow, but it didn't feel it.
And the whole fact they had the little circles for each of the bad guys and each of the good guys to just like keep tally
track.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
It just makes it easier and it keeps you up to date with what's going on, sort of in like the most simple way that also
without
makes
having
sense.
To tell you, right. Like, we just killed 10 or, we're up to 14, right? Like you could see the ticks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, it was just everything they did in this was
they started off doing it that way, then it got harder and harder and they stopped talking about it and they would just slowly go over and just start crossing out the circles.
Yep. Yeah.
Right.
It was,
You have to see it each time. But that was like what you bring up too, TC. I really like that. Like with the mismatched weaponry, like how they would like lay an ambush or whatever, but holy shit, they got a gun. We got to run away. Or even like somebody bring out the bow and they're like, oh shit, we got to turn the horse around. Somebody's got a bow.
That was great.
I haven't seen that.
This guy's turned around and he has a horse kicking. Everyone stay back. I don't know how to deal with this.
Right. What I
loved about it was when the thieves were coming at them and then they would see them and be like, whoa.
Yeah.
No. Turn around. They've got knives. They've got knives. Don't turn around. Get the horses. Go back. And it was just part of the, like they would kind of go at each other, but then both of them would get scared and they would like fall back. It was, oh man. And how fast they all moved. It was fantastic.
Some of the running was impressive.
Oh my God. And they were all over the place. They were jumping up things over the course of the rocks.
They talked about the slowing down. So they probably sped it up too. This movie also has like some of the first instances of slow motion in an action movie. Mm-hmm. The scene where so I have nicknames for all the samurai cause I'm terrible with Japanese names.
Badass Samurai.
That's my nickname for this
badass
guy. Badass Samurai.
Yeah.
He's the guy with the sword.
He's the one samurai with the sword. You are correct, John.
Fuck you.
Good job.
He was the sword master guy. He's the guy who stole the gun. Right. He's the first. I'm sorry, I meant the sword master, not the guy with the sword. Sorry.
Samurai
with the sword. That one.
You know that guy with the sword?
I called him sword guy. That's how I distinguish him.
I called him badass samurai. His name is Kiyuzo in the movie.
He was cool. Yeah.
So let's go through the names because I'm just going to call them nicknames. So the leader was Kanbe. The young student was Katsushiro.
Elvis. I called him Elvis.
That's pretty good.
Let's call him Elvis.
Yep. Hey, I'm gonna redo this here. Elvis. We got the jolly samurai, the happy one, the first one they recruit is Go-Go.
Oh yeah, the nice guy. The nice guy unfortunately dies.
Yep.
I was sad at that point. I was like, oh come on.
I know. Yeah.
His name is Go-Go B. But we'll call him the jolly samurai. I don't know if any better ones. No.
Any better.
The secondary leader slash the chubby one. That guy was
kind of guy.
The bald guy, the guy who survives, the bald guy at the end.
I
was calling him the not samurai looking samurai.
He was a chubby one.
Chichi
Roji was his name. The log splitter, who was the hardest to pick out, I found. He was the first one to die too. Do you even remember what he looks like? He's kind of the most generic looking one.
I sometimes got him confused with farmer drunk guy. I think. They look pretty similar.
Really? Actually, I take that back. The farmer drunk guy was the most, he stood out the most just because he was jumping around all the time.
I got confused sometimes. But yeah, I agree that that guy was like a little bit hard to distinguish too.
So Log Splitter is Hitachi.
I like that. I love that scene though. It's like he's splitting his logs. Like, what? You never seen a guy split logs before?
Why are you looking at me? Why are you staring at me?
There are so many little scenes
the little jokes he had during the was funny. Yeah. It was just like, he's like, I don't know this guy. He's staring at me, so I'm just going to make fun of it.
Moves his sword away from the guy. Just be like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, right. It's like, okay. Right, yeah. That's another fantastic thing about this film. There's all these little scenes like that that you could call out. But the other thing that they do that this guy also shows too is there's an emphasis on morale and how people are feeling about the battle and stuff, and how the samurai themselves talk about how they have to help people, like motivate them. They have
loosen
to
loosen up a little.
Right, or that, that they're doing stuff as leaders that are trying to help the people, like, not lose spirit. And that's, I think that there's a number of scenes in the film that do that really well too.
Yeah. Just the recruiting scene. Like, they do that in a lot of movies and like this one has got to be one of the better ones. It was fun to watch.
But this is also, I think I was reading like on the Wikipedia, and like Ebert was saying this too in his review. This is the first film to do this.
Really?
That in the action film that you have the guy, the leader that goes and recruits the guys that are going to do the job.
The Ocean's 11 or whatever you want to call it.
From
whatever, any heist film, right? Yeah. But that this is the first film to do that. That it sets this template of an action film.
And the premise of it too, where they're like, what's the guy say? He's like, we need 7 samurai. He's like, we can't afford that. And he's like, well, we have to find hungry samurai. And you're like, ha. So they're all going to be like bad, like not bad, but like, you know, lesser than samurai, down and out samurai, whatever, which makes it even more interesting.
B-League.
B-League
samurai. Yeah, just a hodgepodge of like the losers, basically.
They're all going to have like their own little personalities in there, and it's going to be kind of fun.
And by the way, speaking of personality, didn't every single actor on that screen or character, if you want to call it, they all had personality. Yeah. Every single one had a different personality, and it all came together to make a really cool, cohesive unit.
Yeah,
they all had some strengths and some weaknesses. It all meshed, and it was just well-written.
And this is like an old foreign language film. For that to come across just sort of indicates how good this is. Mm-hmm. Like,
I know. And not just from a director standpoint, but from just like everybody involved in this project. I mean, cause you gotta think too, like they're running around, their coordination, all those things that like, it just seemed natural, probably because they didn't plan a lot of it. They just did it because they had the one take and they were like, we're going to do it. And this is what you're supposed to do. These are the things that are going to happen.
You'll be surprised to see there's very little improv in this movie,
but it looks so unplanned.
Originally it was going to be 6. And again, from the Wikipedia, the very little research that I did on this. Originally it was going to be 6 samurai, but they felt they needed somebody to liven it up. They needed the drunk guy, and so they let him improv a lot.
For the dialogue, for the, I think we're talking specifically for the action stuff.
I would imagine had some coordination, but some of the things they were doing were fighting wise, like.
It looks sloppy a little bit.
You see this over and over, like and maybe that wasn't improv, or maybe that was improv. It just happened. Like, you see them fall and slip a shit ton, right, all the time, and that again adds to the sort of like urgency of the whole thing. Like,
you could. So there's actually a pretty good the documentary that came with this. It's like an hour long one. It's specifically for 7 Samurai, and they had a bunch of storyboards. Kurosawa storyboards himself, and they're pretty simplistic, but they get the general idea across, like
of where they're supposed to locate
and where the motion is supposed to be, and like it's like here, horse here, people in the foreground chasing that guy. So it's like that's the shot they get. It's like, it's not necessarily like stay on your feet or you're gonna fuck up the shot. It's like everybody here run away from the camera in that way, like sort of
whatever happens while that's happening,
yeah,
all good.
Roll with it.
Yeah.
And there's actually a pretty extreme example of that happening. We're just in trivia right now. Should we just go straight into it?
It's hard not to.
Yeah. I want to know so many of these things. So that's what I was dying to hear. I couldn't care less what we think about it. So I want to know
gonna,
all this
This
stuff.
Is going to get back around to what we're talking about now, but it's going to be a little bit of a story before I get there. So there's the scene where they attack the bandit village and they catch them all sleeping, the four samurai that end up going, and they start burning the building down that all the bandits are sleeping in. They actually burn that hut, whatever you want to call it. They only had one to burn down. Even back then, you needed fire trucks on standby to burn something down like that. That day was particularly... why not? But it's back in the day. You'd think Hollywood used to be pretty...
This wasn't Hollywood. This was Japan.
But just like a film industry back in the 50s, think it would be a little less safe, but good job. They were doing a good job back then. But that day was really dry, and there were fires all over the place anyway, so every single fire truck was gone for the whole day. And so during that period of time, all the actors and most of the crew were just sitting around waiting for the shot because they couldn't do anything. But Kurosawa and one of the production people on the production side went around and started dousing everything with gasoline because they wanted to make sure that it actually burned. So they sat there for a little while, like, what if it doesn't burn right? We should probably make sure it burns right. And then they started going around and just pouring gasoline on this hut. So by the time at the end of the day, when all the fires were put out and they got a fire truck to come back and they needed to shoot it this day and they wanted to burn, you know, this thing one time and get it right, they set it on fire and it burned a lot faster than they thought it was going to burn.
Oh, shit.
And
people
were inside this thing. Like, all that was real. And it was getting hotter way faster. And he kept yelling, oh, shit, I have to get this quote, because he was yelling one word over and over again. It was something like, keep going or something like that.
Keep filming.
It was keep going. He was yelling, keep going. And everyone was like freaking out because the thing was
collapsing.
Dude,
we're going to die. This is not what we planned.
Yeah. My skin's burning.
And the shot
doesn't seem right.
There's the shot where one of the samurai whose wife was taken and runs back in to kill herself because she's ashamed.
It's the farmer's wife that got abducted, right? And became a concubine.
Yeah. Was it the farmer?
It was one of the farmers. Yeah.
Okay. So one of the guys that was with them. But that guy was trying to go in and save her. And there's kind of a long shot of him trying to run in there and then kind of covering his face and backing up and falling on the ground. And something collapsed in the building when that happened during that shot. And a big blast of heat hit him in the face.
He burned his
esophagus when it happened.
Oh, shit.
Like, people got injured. People lost eyebrows. It was fucking crazy. And it was just that one shot. So whenever there's a wide shot of that building burning and people running around, that was dangerous as shit when it was happening.
Wow.
And it was because Kurosawa burned, like, poured gasoline on everything.
Which is interesting because it doesn't seem like that was the most dangerous shot they could have had.
Right. But
by far.
Yeah.
Right? I'm surprised no one got stabbed. I'm surprised no one bled out.
Nobody died.
No one died.
Yeah. It's kind of surprising.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. The guy who got dragged by the horse, that was a person.
Wait, that was real?
That was a real person.
I wanted
person.
To ask you, that, shut up. I thought that was a dummy. I was like, that guy, of course. Yeah. I was like, they actually dragged that dude, didn't they? And I was like, it's got to be a dummy. It
fine?
Has to be. It has to be.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't die. they didn't report injuries. People talked about it. Burned esophaguses. Like, that's a pretty bad injury.
Right, that's just collateral, I guess, but it doesn't count. I don't know. He's still alive.
Yeah.
As long as you didn't die.
That
we're
scene,
fine.
That, just while you're bringing up that coming out of the burning house scene, because that's when the first samurai dies right afterwards. The immediacy and shock of how they're the way they also introduce the guns, like it's really, really shockingly abrupt the way that the first samurai dies because he's helping the guy
I missed it. I had to rewind.
Right,
I honestly blinked and I missed it. It was so quick.
But the suddenness of it and the introduction of that was also just another like kind of amazing thing here of like just that was like so shocking when it happened.
Did you guys notice that all four of the samurai that died from the gunshot?
Oh,
they all got killed by the gun.
I didn't put that together at all. Yeah. Wow.
Read into that. Go ahead, movie scholars. Read deep into that. End of an era. You know, time for the gun. Samurais are no longer.
Exactly.
But I didn't notice it either until they pointed it out in the commentary track with the four mounds. They're like, each one died by the
gun. There's so much
gun.
Deep
Yeah, there's so many I didn't know it, but I agree, Danny. I did have to rewind it because I didn't understand. I didn't know guns were not.
I was like, when did he die? I thought they were all fine hiding behind the rocks.
Right. I thought he tripped.
Well, because
in
it's
the
hard
water,
to see then, when they fall down or if right. they got shot
but,
or not.
Yeah,
with,
but
you hear the
gunshot, but I didn't know guns were a thing. I didn't know we get to
I
have
thought
guns.
It was the wood exploding or something the first time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was
Yeah. So that's pretty that was a pretty gnarly scene right there. Just being really irresponsible with his, stunts and whatnot. Yeah. He got the shot. But they actually, since he couldn't quite follow the direction of what they wanted to do, there were some insert shots. So in that scene, if you see some more close-up shots of them, like, grabbing each other and pulling each other away, those were shot on a set later and inserted. But also, you can't tell because it matches pretty damn perfectly, which is impressive.
So I'm going to forget ask this. So I'm going to ask it now. All of these like side swipes, do you have to go and like put that together by hand? Like, how is that done back in the day?
So it actually,
like, there were a ton of them.
I thought the same thing because it was, what do they call it? They used to just call it a fade swipe or something like that. It was a fade transition. And all they did was it was a line fade now, and they called it a swipe. So it was kind of the same technique they've had for a while. They just added a line in it. And no one thought to do that before because they preferred just to have like a smoother
fade.
A smoother fade swipe or whatever you want to call it.
You mean this is the first time anybody did the horizontal Star Wars type of?
Yes. In Star Wars, I mean, this is George Lucas's favorite movie. This is the, all the sword fighting was directly taken for Star Wars. Like, Star Wars exists because this movie happened, basically. And I'm sure that's true for.
I feel like a lot of any action existed because of that.
Not just films, but entire genres.
Yeah.
Right?
So. Yeah, right.
And it is crazy, too, that Seven Samurai, you think it would be an action movie. And there is some good action in it, but, I would say maybe two and a half hours of it non-action.
No, exactly that. This is not an action film nearly as much as I thought it would be. This is more of a character film. I was really surprised by. I thought there was going to be a shit ton of action, and not even half to almost two thirds of the movie is not.
Yeah.
And that's
I mean,
amazing,
I knew when we got through that intermission that it was on.
And then we start getting to the season being ready, and they're going to start
harvesting the crops. They're going to start. Here we go. Like, as soon as I saw them harvesting crops, I'm like, the bandits are on their way. And I was excited. So, I mean, you're right. That first half, although it was set up, it really built it up. It built it up.
It cruised.
For
that first
that
2 hours
half.
Was, yeah. I mean, I honestly watched this in two chunks, and watching the second half from the beginning, it was kind of slow to pick up. But it got there again. But like the first half, it was like I was on cruise control the whole time. I was like, this is amazing. This movie just flows is so interesting. And there's always something interesting going on and you can read into certain stuff, but it's always simple enough where it's just like easy viewing too, You could always look into like.
I mean, how funny was it when the guy ran after them after he did the fake alarm? And they're all freaking out, and he was making fun of them while he was in. And oh god, I was laughing hysterically at that. And then it just
he called
like
them,
all
what,
the
mud
characters and
blockheads.
Right.
Like, what are these?
Yeah, right. But so good because the way that he started that whole thing was just such it kicked off a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm, right, like that.
Exactly.
That little speech. Was like a turning point for him and a turning point for the rest of us.
Yeah. So it's not just funny. Yeah. And a lot of things like this in terms of the way the film is put together, it's not just funny. It's not just, there's this comedy bit here. It serves a real purpose as far as moving the story and illustrating something and trying to make a point about how they're feeling about the samurai and how they're treating them one way. But when there's a sense of danger, they're going to change their tune. That was all. Yeah, it was really cool. You're right. So there's a lot of moments like that too, where it's like, yeah, this is funny, but it's not just that, right? It's also like everything really
or
feels
like
yeah,
just
nothing
the
is, just
they,
exists for the sake of a laugh ever, right?
Yeah,
like,
right. I mean, because you figure or even action. the hidden stash, right? The hidden stash was one of those nuggets where like, we just think he's making fun of them, being like, oh, you can't trust the farmers; they have a hidden stash everywhere, blah blah blah. Nothing comes of that. for like 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. And then it makes a point that it's coming when they're all about to die.
Yeah.
And of course they had the stash. Sure. So he was right. Mm-hmm. But also the fucking farmers, you got to watch out for them. And then it also goes into the same discussion about them being fighters now. So you do have to watch out for them because not only are they going to be sneaky, they're also going to fight for their livelihood, right? Yeah. So it's really, I mean, nothing that they put in this movie was like you said, nothing was by chance. It was all there on purpose.
And there's a couple of really heavy scenes. Like there's the scene where he's, you know, chopping his daughter's hair off. I'm still thinking about that just because like that would be a terrible situation to have to live through, not knowing what's going to happen there and just being afraid. And it was a pretty creepy shot, honestly, but it was good. Like he walks in on his daughter. She's bent over doing laundry and the father is like thinking of her in a sexual way. And then thinking about how negative that is that these samurai are coming in. Like it's a really kind of a risky kind of thing to do, but it works because his intentions are real and the fear is real.
And and the actors, all of them, this guy shows it. He shows this fear and this intensity, right? And that also sells it incredibly well. Like and even when the same guy, when he's like so upset that his daughter has slept with the samurai, it's pulled off because he really shows his how upset he is about this, how he feels like his daughter has just given herself away. And now it's not a very modern sensibility, but it works very well within the film. And it shows because he really plays it like you said earlier, TC, like every character here is really playing their role in a very, like, I don't know, in just a way that feels deep. It feels like these are real people. It feels like not just the samurai, but each farmer that has their part. And it's just really
There's a lot of farmers that give a lot of backstory to.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also so hard to write a story with this many people and have them all really be important. I mean, like, there's so many characters, and all of them have a part to play. And all of them actually need to be there.
There's such great fucking counseling scenes where they're like talking about anger or they're talking about war.
Oh, I know.
It's fucking good. It's just amazing when he
goes and gets the baby. This baby is me. That was amazing.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Like it was.
The daughter, you know, the girl that was sleeping with the samurai the night beforehand, and she's like, "Are we going to die tomorrow?" And he's like, "I don't know."
Sure.
You know, and like that,
right.
Her acting that there scene. Was
and that was amazing.
Incredible.
That was also really
oh my
good,
God.
Right?
And then all the women had to fight. I mean, that was something I didn't see coming. They actually got out there with their hoes and their shovels, and they were going after the guys. That was like, it was just, you're right. Some of the things they put in, those little bits and nuggets of like fear. Mm-hmm. And then you have these little nuggets of conversation because people adapt and people are strong and people will withstand and all that.
Right.
And all those little things are just little pieces. Like you put them together over the course of the movie, but they happen in little isolated incidents that if you're not paying attention, like you said, you're going to miss that. And that little nugget plays a part in the overarching story. I like a movie.
Yeah,
from 1955 to 60.
Yeah. Yeah.
And especially another how that plays out between the girl and Elvis in the end where she goes back to the farmers is so well done. Like how it's just clear that this was the moment and she was terrified. She thought she was going to die, which is totally understandable. And yet that means for him, he's all in love or whatever. And for her, this was more like something she did because she was terrified and she didn't think, you know, she'd live. Mm-hmm. And that played out amazingly, you know, in terms of her like turning her back on him and going back to the field and singing this song. And he's like, fuck. It's just, again, really well done. Before we lose the sideswipe, I still wanted to ask, like, did you learn about how they had to do it? Like, he's the editor. Do you have to go in and like hand cut this film?
I think there was a process. So they didn't say specifically, but there was, it's not too dissimilar from the previous type of fade they had. So it sounds like there was a process to do it. So I don't think it required doing it by hand.
It was because
they just had to alter the process, whatever that process is or was.
Because I would just be interested. I didn't know how you get that smooth like line that goes to from one scene to the next. It just
and
it
at
just
the very
so
least,
cool.
It would be do the process and then go in frame by frame and add a line. That's got to be easier than like putting two shots together, right?
Oh, maybe
have the
so,
machine
yeah.
put the shots together. You go in, put a black line where it would normally be a soft fade between the two, sort of thing.
Oh, I guess so.
That's just a guess.
Maybe.
I'm just guessing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't not know. Sure. Yeah. It's old film. They had a weird technique back then. And yeah.
Yeah. There was if it was effort, that's a lot of swipe fades. This movie was the most expensive Japanese movie ever made. It went four times over budget from what they wanted. They actually shut down the production a number of times and kind of stopped it. Being like, you're spending way too much money.
You're done.
Yeah. And there's conflicting stories about what happened once that happened. Some sources say that Kurosawa went and argued with the board of Toho, who is the production company who does all the Godzilla movies still. They did Godzilla Minus One, so they're still around.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, so they did. Actually, the first Godzilla and this movie came out the same year, same production company. Wow. And they were the two biggest budget Japanese movies at the time, so they were rolling the dice, and it paid off pretty good. They're still around.
Yeah, this one was like the second highest grossing film for Japan. I saw it on the Wikipedia. I wonder what the first highest grossing one was that year. If it was Godzilla.
Probably. Yeah, Godzilla is more of a pop culture thing, I think. This is more of like an art house film school type of thing. Because I mean, it is old. It's black and white. It's Japanese. Foreign language. It's not an easy sell. You know.
Nope. Well, you think,
three and a half hours long.
Again, it's very, I again assumed it was going to be this total action picture, which again, it wasn't, there's action for sure, but I wouldn't call it that. I wouldn't say this is, even though it establishes a whole lot of
things. It's
kind of
like if you have Lawrence of Arabia and Das Boat and you mix them together. That's what this movie is.
Wow.
You got like a war epic in there and then you got an ensemble cast in there, you know?
I want to watch both of those again. Yeah. Maybe not Das Boot because it was so tense.
Oh, yeah.
Lawrence Arabia, though. Yeah.
Have the deodorant on hand if you watch that one.
No shit.
Larry Arabia. How we doing?
Let's go back to Larry.
Long time no see.
He's going to spackle that desert.
Yeah, he's going to spackle it with the trailer. Ah, how you doing? Yeah. He's out there still. It's a big desert.
It is. He's lost out there, but he's good. He's got his white clothing on.
Timmy's just roaming around. He's got nothing to do.
It's getting hot. It's getting hot.
It's getting hot out here, guys. Anybody coming back? Alec? Baldwin? No? Fuck. Is that too soon?
No, it's okay.
I guess he did just start the trial.
Right. Okay. It's okay.
Timmy's out there looking for Larry still. Larry's on his own, but
they'll be looking for each other forever. It's their destinies.
Woo. Yeah. Yep. They're going to be out there.
I think,
that's a good comparison.
Yeah. And I think I was trying to say something about something in trivia, but then I got derailed with other trivia and now we're here and I forgot where I started. So
that's good.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not gonna ask anything more about
Sideswipes.
We don't
operate as linearly as this movie did.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, what else was good? Let's just keep praising it while we can and I'll start going through my notes.
Scenery. I mean, the village. The makes
the
me think of the
great.
Way they did Lord of the Rings too. Like they have the hillside, like where you got all these sceneries with the hillside of the village. That was you could tell this was not a set. And that also was really impressive. I think and it came through the film still. So that was another thing. Just the way you felt like you had a real sense of place, a real sense of this village. And as they were defending it, you get this sense of that to the east, to the north, and they lay it all out as part of the plot. They're like, all right, these are these defensible areas. All right, this is what we're going to do. Here's where they're going to come. And they do it in a fucking way that I'm following. Like I'm like with there. They've got their little map there. They're showing. I mean, the exposition in this film is really, really efficient.
It doesn't feel like exposition at all because they're all strategizing to what they're going to do.
So and then they'll give you fucking pictures along the way.
Yep.
You know,
they give you
a
count of the bad guys and themselves, so you can follow along.
And they make it a fucking flag, so you remember you got the samurai there, right? And it's really cool the symbolic nature of that, where they have that as their banner, where they've got the seven samurai and the farmers. It's just the way this film does exposition is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like maybe second to none. In terms of laying out a complex action drama story, and having you follow it along. And then that might be why it feels like it moves so well. They're not spending any time explaining what the fuck is going on, because they're able to do it just in really efficiently somehow. And man, it's so you have this sense of place, and then they have this exposition that helps you really understand the place. So you like really feel like you get to know this village sort of, or at the very least how they're going to defend it. And that's again, really amazing.
Yep.
One thing I'll give it one good flaw point. Here. The guys are their first wave, let two guys in, block out the rest with the spears, kill the two guys. Fantastic plan. Then the bad guys fall for the same plan the second time. Really?
Right.
Bad guys, you just saw what they did. That's twice.
Thieves are notoriously stupid.
They're stupid.
And they stopped after two times. They're like, they're not going to fall for that one.
Not after two times. I thought at the very end, too, they're going to be like, we're going to let all of them go in. You'd think at some point the bandits would be like, all right, look, these fuckers are hiding in the sides.
They're
there.
Right on each side.
Go and get them. All right. Let's not just ride past them and be like, oh, look, they're behind us. No. You go get them on the sides.
They're probably,
there they are.
They're organized.
Time.
Usually, when my assumption for that last part there was that these guys are well trained, and they're usually when you have people running around a town, organization goes away really quickly. Even if you have, like, you know, you're like, we're going to do it, guys. As soon as you start seeing people get killed, you might just start running around like a fucking idiot, you know? But these guys, through the battle, were still at their posts, still following commands, and they might not have been expecting that because they are bandits attacking farmer towns, right?
Right. And that is another thing. The film, again, with minimal exposition, shows the importance of staying in formation, of staying in your... And that's, it's like one big plot point in the film is the one guy leaves
Where he fucks it up for everyone.
He kills the old guy.
That was one of the saddest parts of the movie. Yeah, when the guy's like, I stayed to my post, and he croaked. I'm like, fuck.
Right.
That guy was so old.
I know. And it was his buddy.
Yeah.
I think that was the, and that was why that was such an important section, though, because it was like, now that character just went through something. He made a bad decision and now fucked everything up.
Yeah, so, it did. But and that was, but also that it helps you understand why they were doing well, because they show this, like, the discipline that they were pushing in on them. And again, another really great scene.
Because I thought too, like, to stick on that for a second, so save your thought, John. Because he goes and he gets a gun, and I'm like, fuck yeah, this guy's the man. What he's doing is great.
I mean, I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah. But then as soon as he gets back, the leader samurai was just like, what have you done, dude? This is about teamwork. Like, I don't care that you got the gun. You fucked us. And like, there's, you know, and he did.
And then he did.
Yeah.
I know.
It was good. I like that.
I was team.
Yeah, I was like, fuck yeah, dude. Take your pants off and get the gun, man. This is a good idea.
Dude, I was like, this guy's going to go and kill them all by himself.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. And that wasn't it. And I was a little disappointed in that, to be honest.
I know, but it was still good, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, too, because like the lesson is, right, like if you're the one toeing the line as the leader, you cannot divert from that, because then you're going to screw it up for the entire organization, which in this instance is their group. So it's like,
so they say,
you know, those are lessons you're learning on top of seeing something great.
Right. Another thing folded into this film, again, along with the counseling, and they talk about emotions and anger, don't keep stuff. I mean, it's pretty awesome. Like, they're like, you know, you shouldn't really keep stuff bottled up inside.
I thought that was such an interesting.
Yeah.
Right. Or like when he's looking at him, staring, he's like, what are you staring at? And he's like, you're a magnificent person. I always wanted to tell you that. I was like, what? I was like, that is like, and it was sincere. At first, I was like, is this a joke? And then it was sincere.
No,
it's like,
Elvis,
that's
guy,
just part of this movie.
Yeah, he's just looking around, looking for people to admire. And again, it's really well done in the sense of, like, initially he's going after the leader, but then he's like enamored with the swordsman guy because that's like,
that guy's
really
obviously the best out of the group.
Right.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Right.
He's Kill Bill.
He looks like David Carradine a little bit.
Right. But he's really cool because he's like, he's dedicated to his craft or whatever, but then he shows his soft side by not telling on that Elvis had the girl and all that. I also like it when he was falling asleep
after he got the gun, and he's like, he's tired. The guy's like bothering him. I think he's going to get pissed off, but he doesn't. Yeah. He just like, he's like, what do you want? And then he sits there and kind of smirks and then goes to sleep. You're like, okay, that's a pretty... You know, he didn't
and
do what I thought he was going to do.
And he felt good about it.
It's really cool. But another scene that was really good, which again is like shows how they, I don't know, they're just folding in all of these ideas of war and what you need to do, where the scene where you have like a bit of a revolt amongst the villagers because they want them to leave their, they're going to have to like across the river. They're going to have to like, just get, not let three of the, village houses go, including the mill or whatever. And mm-hmm. so the people that own those revolt, and how the leader like gathers them back and says, fuck no, get the fuck over here. You can't do this. That whole scene was awesome too. And then he gives a speech about it. It's like, you can't do this. Or, you know, that this is not what you do in war. You have to do this. If you look out for yourself, you kill yourself. And that was, mm-hmm. again, really fucking well done. Right. And again, it's mm-hmm. echoed again when the guy goes and gets the gun himself too and leaves his post. Right. And so again, just, I mean, it's hard to think of a movie that does so much, that tells you so many things, that gives you so much in terms of minimal exposition, characters, action.
Well, it's hard to do that with a movie under 2 hours.
Right, I was going
to
say, this movie has 3.5 hours and uses it pretty well.
It does, right. You're right. But goddamn, I don't know of any other film
it
that's...
It is two movies, basically.
Right.
Yeah, basically, it's two movies.
Lawrence of Arabia is how long?
I think it's around the same. It's around 3.5 hours.
It's another film that's just awesome and does not
that movie
feel like there's
slightly
any blur.
More modern. Right. And it's only about one person.
Color. But the color goes a long way.
But the Arabia, it's long, but there's a lot
three
of
three hours,
like,
42 minutes. So just around the same shit, as this one.
But there's a lot of, a lot of like sitting with things in Arabia.
A lot more character driven stuff than the amount of action.
But also with Lawrence Arabia, you're going to like have like a 5 minute sequence of some guy just approaching you out, from nowhere in the desert, just to give you a sense of the distance and depth of the desert. So that film has a lot of like more just like lingering moments, which work really well. But this film isn't like that. This film is...
No, it's jam-packed. This one's jam-packed, man. There's always something happening. It does not get boring.
Yeah.
And Lawrence of Arabia has...
saying that. I get bored by everything. Fucking the day. The sun bores me, right? So like this is you would think... It, you know, this actually worked. I was just enthralled, I guess is the word, with all of what was happening on screen and all the characters.
And the thing is, like, this movie, comparing it to Lawrence of Arabia, it doesn't have, like, the shots. Like, there are a few shots that are really nice, but, like, Lawrence of Arabia has some of the best shots I've ever seen.
You don't have the cinematography. Mm, yeah. You don't have that, right?
But there are some shots, like, in this one where... Just the intro, it wasn't like the very first shot, but it was kind of the first plot point where the bandits go to the edge of the cliff and you can see the town. It's like a weird shot because they're on a hill and the town kind of looks like it's 90 degrees, like Inception almost. Like you're looking down at a map of the town, even though the camera is flat with the ground where you are. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like it's just an odd shot.
It looked weird.
Yeah, but it looks really good.
It looked really good. For a minute, I was thinking that means it's like, what is this? Is this a matte painting or something?
Yeah, it's not.
And so
could have been.
Right. I know, but it did look really weird at first, but it's giving you this odd sense of them versus the village, which I kind of liked. It sort of like highlighted this like distinction between them as about, this is like, here's the bandits and here's the village. And this is what we're going to be like working with for the next like 3.5 hours.
And the whole story of the 3.5 hours kicks off because one farmer stands up and overheard the like two pieces of dialogue the bandit said
and
didn't die. And just, he doesn't say anything and just runs down to the town. Just completely silent. Plot progression, you know, having a guy pop up, look concerned, run down the hill. That's the beginning of the entire movie.
That was the beginning of the faces.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I wanted to note about the Lawrence of Arabia thing is the aspect ratio is extremely different. So we had much more real estate to see things. And this aspect ratio is like
a
box.
Square.
Well,
it's basically a square.
Again, 4x3 like square. Again, so there's only so much room to
No, that's true.
Work
but,
with.
But also just again, I mean, with Arabia, another a very like prominent character in that film is the fucking desert. You know, that's like that the
isn't the town a character in this movie too, John?
Yeah, right.
It is, but it's contained.
Yeah,
it's
a different kind of character. Yeah.
The idea with the desert is that you need to like understand its vastness and how fucking empty it is, and that's like hugely important to that film. Or I don't know if it's usually important, but it's like something that's enormously well presented to you. Mm-hmm. Like you feel it, and that the cinematography is part of that, and it's gorgeous, right? But it's also not only gorgeous, but it like gives you the sense.
Because I mean, let's be honest, if it was black and white desert.
It would just it might look not like work. Snow. So color helps, right? Yeah. Right. You're right. So that's true.
Yeah. It's got a lot of differences. What we're finding here is that it's not similar at all. But what it that's is fair. Similar in is
well, it's three and a half hours long. That's about it.
Yeah, it's three and a half hours long. So that we've got
that. It's an epic. Lawrence of Arabia, I don't remember exactly, but all of the characters were amazing in that film, too.
The dialogue was interesting. You're like hanging on the dialogue, which is hard to do. You're just like waiting for the next person to say something because the last everything you've heard has been so good so far.
Yeah.
So you know it's going to be good.
That film... I mean, that film is more centralized on one character, on Lawrence himself.
Yeah. But that's where the Das Boot comes in and makes love with the Lawrence of Arabia, John. And then, even though this one's older, they have a little Das Arabia baby right there.
You're right. You're right. Then you have the ensemble, right? Thing, yeah. And they're trapped in the village. Like they're trapped in the village. Boat.
Yeah. And like the periscope is like looking up the hillside and seeing if the bandits are up there yet.
Awesome.
Are they coming? I'm nervous. We're all nervous down here.
But whatever, like it's interesting that we think of these other two films in this context because those are some of the best
because they're three and a half hours long. I think honestly,
I think that's really the kicker. Yeah, that's the one that brings it all together.
Well, they're epics with amazing characters and amazing sets, like a sense of place. And so I think that
they all fit together
really well in that sense. It's like it's understandable that we bring up those other two because I don't know if there's a.
I mean, I was looking at the movie list, and Ben-Hur was like around the same time, and it tries to be the same thing, but like this one does it so much better. All the dialogue scenes in Ben-Hur were kind of like shitty, like fake Shakespearean plays type of thing.
What do you think of when you think of Ben-Hur? What comes to mind?
I haven't seen that fucking thing. And then three hours of really boring sets.
Bronze people.
All I think of is Jesus's really, really beautifully coiffed hair from the back.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Jesus's great hairdo from the back. That's all I fucking
remember.
Doesn't
a spaceship with Jesus in it come down at some point in that movie? I'm pretty sure there's a spaceship in that movie.
Is there?
I think so.
Nobody cares. Nobody wants to watch that movie.
Yeah, but that movie was boring. This movie is really engaging. I think it's, you know, like some of the, I don't know, Ben-Hur seems, people go to see the action in movies like that, you know? Spartacus as well.
But you go to see the action.
And this one, the story is the best part of the movie. And the action is outstanding as well.
Right?
And the character.
But think about
the story and the characters.
We know the language in Ben-Hur. We don't even know the language in this one. And we had to watch subtitles, and it's still better than Ben-Hur. Right?
By a lot. no question. This is better than like most movies. People's hyperbolic statements on this movie, I think, totally justified. The fact that it's so old and it holds up so well is just like... Yeah,
the fact that if you teach this to a bunch of film students, they're going to be better for it. That just says it all.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen for a lot of the old content created here.
Like a bunch of people said, a lot of stuff was created in this movie.
Yeah,
they're still used today because they're good.
Right,
they're still.
I'm just amazed. Like first time use of multiple cameras, like, and again, all of these tropes that we now are very used to in action films. First time doing that. I don't know.
If you want to learn, the commentary track was kind of a bore because I'm not a film student, so there's two commentary tracks and I listened to most of both of them. They talked a lot about the story and the background of the actors and all this other stuff that isn't too great to regurgitate on a podcast. You could just go on IMDb and look that up, but they did talk about the camera shots. One of the guys they had would talk about the specific distances and periods of time they would show shots. He would just like describe the shots they used and how they were intentionally doing a certain thing for a scene and it's tedious, you know, but I mean, filmmaking to a point is tedious and you want to do something for it. And he would use specific zooms and times and all of this stuff to get an emotion across or a thought across. And it worked like every single time. So like, it wasn't just the fact that this guy wrote the story and directed these actors and created these characters and put these sets together.
But he knew like the science behind the lenses.
He knew like what lenses to use. He knew when to show a close up. He knew when to put an actor where, sort of thing. Like he thought about every single thing and what he was trying to get across for any specific scene, not only for that scene to be entertaining, but for like the whole movie to be cohesive in itself, sort of thing. Yeah. Dude was kind of a genius. There's no question about it.
This seems to be his peak, right? I mean, this is his masterpiece.
People say this is his masterpiece because was so big. Like, Ikiru was the one right before this, and this was his first action movie. It was his first samurai movie. Rashomon had samurais in it, but there was no action in it.
Right, we saw Rashomon. Yeah, right? I mean, I was not hit by Rashomon the way this one.
Do you remember Ikiru? You do. So like the guy from this, the leader samurai, was in Ikiru, but he was dying of cancer and his eyes were like bulging out of his head the entire movie. It made you feel
I remember that.
Very uncomfortable.
That one, I remember that part. Yeah.
So that was the same.
I didn't know that was because of cancer. I don't remember that.
He had cancer. Yeah. The whole movie was like he had cancer, and in Japanese culture, you don't tell someone if they have cancer. So like he was just suffering the entire movie.
Oh man. Yeah. That film.
Yeah.
Right. So
how many movies did he have total?
Yeah, he had 30 total. And
six
of them are on the list.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty fucking good.
Oh yeah. For a foreign filmmaker.
I mean, you know, we may have to go on a run and just do all of them.
Yeah. Oh fuck. I don't know.
Well, we already watched the best ones.
Probably.
That doesn't matter, you know. We gotta do it for the podcast, you know.
What did he do before this one? What was his one before Ikiru?
It was and then after this? That I don't know. But they talked a lot about how Ikiru was like straight drama. You know, a lot. He didn't have the telephoto lens. This is the first movie he used the telephoto lens for. And he used it a lot in this movie, which allowed for him to zoom, and it allowed for the shots where like the foreground and the background were
good
the same focus
field.
Sort of thing. But before this movie, he used a lot of faces. Like he used to shove the camera in people's faces and let them act.
Which was great, except that guy had the bulging eyeballs, which is really, I remember feeling like that guy was going to explode at any point. It was kind of really unsettling to watch. It made it hard to
Don't you feel better, John, after 6 years? Now you know he survived to make another movie, and you just watched him do it. And he played kind of a calm character. I loved his character. Yeah. He was so perfect for that like calm leader person.
Oh, no, he was great. He was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. He did that. He conveyed it really well. Like he conveyed the like just... like command. He was the commander. He had it.
And I liked it. Right? I would always like look to him to see what his reaction was to see if I should be like worried. Because sometimes he would be laughing along with everyone else. And he's like, cool. This is an okay thing to do here. Right.
So look at that. Even you see him, even as the audience.
Well, because it's old. And I'm like, I don't know
what
people should be doing. I want to know if the leader thinks it's okay. If he thinks it's okay, I'm having a good time. If he's looking around, everyone else is laughing and he's furrowing his brow. I was like, uh-oh, these people shouldn't be doing this. You know? So he's my leader too, John. You are correct.
Yeah. You're my leader. Can I follow you? You're an amazing samurai.
You are an amazing samurai.
A magnificent person.
Which samurai death got you the most?
I think it was Gobei or whatever his name was.
The badass one? Or the jolly nice one.
Yeah, the first one. The first one, the jolly
Not
one.
The first one. That was jolly one was the second one. First one was the wood cutter.
No, second one. Yeah. Yeah, the guy that was his old friend.
Yeah, I think that one.
That one was good. I don't know, the crazy guy. That death was pretty good, how he like fought through the gunshot and stabbed the dude anyway.
And killed the bandit leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then came in. Yeah. I thought that was good, yeah. I liked how he finished it out. He's like, fuck you, I'm definitely killing you. I don't care if I'm dying too. Yeah.
And can I say again that the fact that this last 20, 30 minute long action scene has zero score on it was like the best thing that ever could have happened
to make that action scene. Huh. Yeah.
There was no
Not
music.
Sure I even noticed.
It was perfect. Like just the fact that it was just horse hooves and rain sounds and people screaming and running around and
How
stuff.
How about that rain?
Was that also
How
new-ish?
About the rain? Was like, that like real to, or was that a rain machine?
It was a rain machine. It actually wasn't a machine. Okay. It was people. They said they had bamboo leaves, and I don't know. They didn't describe it well enough for me to understand. They were spraying it around with bamboo leaves in front of the camera.
What?
What? Exactly. I don't know. They said they tried it they had a machine that sprayed it around in a circle, but it didn't look very good on camera. So they just had a bunch of bamboo leaves and they were just like hitting the water with bamboo leaves.
Oh, like as it spun.
Oh, maybe they used both. Maybe they did.
Yeah. So as it spun, they used the leaves to sort
make
of
it drop straight
it
down
in different places.
That would make a lot more sense. I'm not sure that's what that they said.
But I was like, they're like collecting it on the leaves. There's no way. It was way too much
on
water.
Ladders around the shot on ladders with a bamboo leaf and a hose, just like, you know, 100 of
that
them.
That could be too. But I mean, Jesus Christ, there was some of it was filling up. It was pooling on the mud, right? Yep. So they weren't just leaves.
And a lot of that too. So this movie was, you know, four times over budget. It ran a lot longer than they thought it was going to run. They were planning on shooting all of it like before the end of summertime, but it ran into February.
Right.
And
it was
they
like
shot
a year long shooting.
Wow.
Yeah, wasn't it?
And they shot that last action scene in February, which is cold. It is very cold. It was near freezing. that all they were doing all this in the rain when it was near freezing. Yeah. The mud would freeze in between takes. They would have to have people go around and keep the mud wet. They'd have to have people stomp on it so it wouldn't freeze.
Oh, Jesus.
They had
my God.
And Kurosawa felt so bad about it, but to join in the actors, he stood with the straw sandals on while he was directing in the mud just to like suffer with them.
With them. Yeah,
and they said he got frostbite and he lost some toenails.
Oh,
so like not toes, but toenails.
I didn't know you could lose toenails to frostbite. I don't understand.
I'm just regurgitating information. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I lost a toenail to frostbite. It grew back.
But, so you stubbed your toe? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I stubbed it
on a frozen chunk of mud. That's pretty bad too.
Still.
Wow, that's something else, though. I mean, that's like
they were suffering.
You would never have noticed from seeing it. Yeah,
but maybe it helped. Maybe it helped, the tension, where they're showing their fear or whatever. They're like, "I'm fucking cold." But,
doesn't that make that shot of that dude getting dragged through the mud seem much worse? That it's freezing,
way
cold?
Worse,
cold, freezing mud. Yeah. Oh man.
And it was a long.
I mean,
shoot.
He must have been next to dead after that. I'm sorry. There's no way.
Do you want a
no helmet? Nothing. No. He went straight. Clothes and that was it, and then foot to the horse.
It was another thing that was
at least
again,
100
yes.
meters.
Yep. Again,
right?
Really, really well done.
Face
in the film
down
that
in
they
sloppy
show.
Mud.
Right. Oh, again, over and over again with Christ. the fight sequence with the bandits. How they got off their horse, they were fucked. Like again, that was just really well done too. Like they're showing them on the horse that they've got some power and mobility there, and then they're throwing out their horse, whatever, they're fucked. And again, over and over, they did these great battle sequences of showing that, like, they're unhorsing them so that then they're gone.
Unhorse me.
Yes.
I have been unhorsed. I am fucked.
I am now fucked. I shall run away, but I am still probably fucked. But I shall still try.
I need to get rehorsed. Otherwise, I am fucked.
And there, my horse is too far gone. So, indeed, I am terribly in trouble right now.
Stabbed 100 times.
Yes.
I thought that scene where the old guy, they were trying to like keep that one bandit alive and they were keeping everyone back. But then the old woman came with the hoe and I was like, oh crap, they're just going to let this old woman hack away at this guy. That's brutal.
She's going to destroy
him. She gets her revenge because
she's
so miserable.
And the old guy's like, let him do it. She needs the revenge. And you're like, this is gruesome. Like they didn't show any of it, but I was like, that is pretty dark right there.
Yeah.
Everyone in town is going to watch this old woman struggle to murder this guy, but she's going to succeed.
Yeah.
This was back in the day where there was only four channels of sound. So any scene where there was, so typically two of the channels would be taken up by the main dialogue and then behind background dialogue,
like background stuff. Yeah.
And then they would have a track for Foley and a track for the score and that's it. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't be able to play around with levels or anything like that beyond those. So you basically would have like a printed sound track that you just have to throw into the mix and all you could do is turn it up or down. Like you couldn't adjust anything in
anything.
The mix.
And it had to be perfect.
Yeah.
What was
and it? I mean, I honestly I thought the sound was good.
Oh yeah.
I thought they got some great on location
stuff. I didn't
like
the score that much, but I'm glad.
I liked some of it. I thought the intro stuff was good. The drums.
Oh, actually, you know what? You know what? What I did like was the sort of like moaning stuff, which is totally Star Wars ripped off. Like the that part. Mm-hmm. Like they do that for like the Empire scenes in Star Wars too. I did like that. But was it relatively new to not have score, to like cut out the score entirely? Because it seems like some of these older films we saw, it's like
they
fucking violins in your face.
We haven't watched. I don't know. They didn't talk about it, but certainly compared to Hollywood movies, you know, it's different.
The Hollywood
than
movies, like the goddamn, most of the films we saw back in that era, it felt like they were still like migrating from the silent era.
Mm-hmm.
So they just
love the sound. They're like, check it out, guys.
Friggin' sound in your face, no matter what.
Yeah, they didn't touch on groundbreaking, that being groundbreaking. Yeah. So maybe not so much, but certainly done effectively.
Oh yeah, very. I would have been annoyed.
I would have too. It was 15 minutes into the sequence. I'm like, no soundtrack yet. They're definitely not going to put anything in. This is awesome.
They probably didn't have the channel.
Probably not.
Maybe not.
We got horses on one. We got gunshots on two.
It wasn't visionary shit. It was we ran out of space.
We're out of gas, man. We're out of
we got rain on three. We got people yelling on four. That's all we got,
exactly.
guys.
Exactly.
That's all we got. Sorry.
Exactly.
The score guy's like, aw.
Oh, I know. Sorry, score guy.
That's not, we got a priority here. Sorry, man.
Classic. The first thing to get cut is audio. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
They used real samurai. All right. Just going to go off list style here. Stuff I haven't gotten so far. Yeah, these commentary tracks are not good overall, I guess.
Oh, that's too bad.
Unless you're a film student, you know, unless you like to be lectured on composition and stuff. Like, it's probably pretty useful there. But they just state what you already see.
So these guys were good, like technically good, right? You know, they're not like some like, oh, I'm Bartholomew, whatever, and I know this guy, and he was in this film.
The first guy was kind of like that. Yeah. Like half of it was talking about how good it was, and I would say a quarter of it was talking about what was going on screen. Like, this character here, this is where he gets introduced. You're like,
yeah,
I'm watching the movie.
Fucko. I'm watching it with you.
This is where he gets introduced. Yeah.
This scene here, they talk about, hiring samurai, and they add a little funny joke here in the end about how they need hungry samurai. It's pretty clever. This is one of Kurosawa's best comedic lines of the movie.
If you'll notice, here's where he dies.
Yeah. But they do. Yeah. He did talk a lot about the shots and stuff. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, then it's probably pretty useful, I would imagine. Because it wouldn't hurt ripping this guy off, Kurosawa.
Well,
in terms of how to shoot stuff.
It didn't hurt. Apparently, everybody ripped him off.
Continue doing it.
Yes.
Yeah. Creation of the blockbuster movies. Rip this guy off. Sure. Real samurai outfits.
I like that. I love their patterns. I like that they've got like cool patterns on their outfits, and like designs and stuff.
Was the goofball samurai pantsless just because he could only steal the shirt from that one guy?
I don't know. Are they maybe he ran hot? I don't know.
He ran hot. Can you imagine their decision to keep him pantsless in February when they're shooting in the rain?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
He's like, can I just please change the storyline here where I have pants on?
Can I have some, like, I don't know, give me a skirt? These other guys got skirts.
They're like, no.
His thong.
It's funnier when you have no pants on.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
That was good. I mean, it really did show like how much of a wild man that guy was.
Yeah. He was great. He was very charismatic. Mm-hmm. Like,
That mill scene where they, right outside where he's like, this is me. And he has the child in his hands. That mill scene, they got to burn 3 times to get all the camera shots that he wanted.
Wow.
Smaller set than the giant, bandit camp, I guess. Telephoto lens in 54 is very rare. It's kind of groundbreaking there. Other movies had used it, but it was like a kind of a new lens at the time. So he was using new technology, which is good.
So they wouldn't, the idea, they just bring the camera closer, I guess. They wouldn't zoom in. I don't know. So what's the difference?
Like, so telephoto, you can actually like zoom while you're taking a shot. And then also you can have it. So like whatever's in the background and whatever's in the foreground are both in focus with the telephoto lens.
Okay.
So it's not like the person in the foreground is in focus. The background's out of focus, which is
right.
The older type of lens, but yeah, this one just lets you see a lot more, a lot clearer, which is very useful in this movie. Three camera setup. So I think I didn't get back to this point. So for the Toho, the fact that the production was canceled every once in a while, some people say that he had to go to the board of directors and try to sell the movie and kind of argue with them, be like, this movie's going to be good. You need to give us more money. I know what I'm doing. But then some other stories talk about how he wasn't worried because he knew that he had all the footage. He had like enough footage to make an awesome movie. So instead of doing the arguing, he actually just went out and went fishing and waited for them to say, okay, continue.
So he wasn't really like begging or anything. He's like, look, I'm good.
It depends.
But
on
I'm not going to really work. I'm going to let, if they're going to extend me, that's also good too.
Yeah. The fishing story is a better story, I guess.
Yeah.
But both of those stories exist. So
it certainly, I don't know.
Who knows? You never know with Hollywood. They make up all sorts of shit.
What was Kurosawa like as a person? Do we have any idea?
Yeah,
like,
there was a documentary on him. He's really great. He's humble. He doesn't think highly of himself. He just describes what, he's like Del Toro, kind of. He's just, he says what his intentions are.
Like he's excited, but also enjoys what
he
loves
it.
Too.
Yeah. He wore like a t-shirt that's like, cinema is life or something like that.
Aww.
I mean, he thought that he had some, he said some things about how he thought movies could like join cultures together because like what he wanted to do was appeal to all cultures because he focused on the characters and emotions. So like all this other stuff might be like historical or like specific to your country, but the main parts of all of his stories were basic human emotions that he tried to make mm-hmm. simple enough. And that was a big part of his movies too. He wanted to make them easy to understand. That was like one of the two things that he thought was important for movies, but just enough so you could like, you could relate to the characters. You could sympathize with them and, you know, because everyone's kind of the same. And he thought that it was really powerful that you could do that through film. And that's what, you know, that's what he did.
Right.
And he's not like, I'm the best person ever. He's just like, this is what I tried to do.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the idea. I do love the more idea, just because I don't like the idea of Akira Kurosawa being like all tense and baking. Him sitting back going, we'll just let him do it. See if they give me more money. And that'd be cool.
He did change his tone. So like when he was being interviewed for these documentaries and stuff, he was very calm. He had very clear answers, very good answers. And I liked his thoughts on a lot of things. When you see him directing, he's a little more strict. He's never like mean or anything from what they show, but like he's a perfectionist.
In charge.
Like he wants to get something right. And for this movie, they didn't have a lot of, which I don't really understand this, but like they had time to run rehearsals for everything. And they would like move the cameras and practice everything. I guess film is just super expensive back then, but like they would do the rehearsals over and over and over again until it was right. And then they would roll once and get it.
Wow.
So like, why not just roll 15 times? It must just be the film cost.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Way too expensive.
But I mean, you have like 100 people on set, you know, and you have like everyone moving around and doing all the stuff. I guess 100 people are just cheaper than like film.
Well, but I guess if you've got, look, if you've got three cameras, you're likely to use the one shot, not all of
it. It might have been quite expensive. Like it might
it's a
have
new
been.
Type of film stock. Yeah, it's like, you know, state of the arts.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it was just expensive.
And you're using like, you know, how many feet are you using per second or whatever this stuff? That's probably going to adds up to a shit.
You got a 3.5 hour long movie here. It's going to be a lot of film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, so the cost of it, unfortunately, doesn't end with the movie being complete. You got to store it. You got to keep it. You got to put it somewhere. You got to develop it. It's unbelievable.
It's probably harder to edit if you have like way too much
footage.
Right
now, they're, you know, most of the places they store film are cold storage that you pay for, that the studio pays for. So that's a cost that they've been trying to get rid of for 50 years now. That we're, you know, they're finally getting to because everything's digital. But, you know, for a long time, you had to have a storage facility also available that would take the film and store it for you. Now, depending on how much there is, that might not be that much money. But for something like this back then, I mean, that was a cost too. So everything cost, not just the film and getting the shot. It's the ancillary stuff around it too, like processing.
All great points. I was the most wrong I've ever been. This completely shut down.
Oh, no. Denny, I'm sure you've been far
more
wrong.
Never been more wrong than that.
No, I'm just trying to say that there's more that you never think about on top of it. You know.
But I mean, it is crazy because he is a perfectionist. He just like, they do the takes until everyone gets it right in his mind, and then they shoot, and then they all get it.
Yeah.
But he definitely...
Well, he knows what he's wanting.
He knows
to get,
what he wants.
Right?
I mean, well, I mean, he drew it on a paper like first, right? So
right,
he knows
right.
exactly
he's like,
what
thought about
needs.
This, right?
Yeah.
So yeah.
The goofball character stayed in character all shoot.
Did he really?
Must have gotten to be a lot. Yep.
That must have been annoying.
Yep. There was actually things got so tense on set at one point that, and I don't have too many details on this, which is upsetting, but he apparently pulled a gun on Kurosawa. And,
what?
Yeah, put it in his face.
Wow.
I wish I had more details on that, right?
That's all you got?
Right.
That's all I got. That apparently happened.
That's a terrible, terrible stop. Yeah. Like, just like, you know.
Give me the whole story.
Like, yeah, I'm not going to do this take.
It's like a tease.
I'm not going to do this take
again. With
what?
No end in sight. Yeah. You're never going to scratch
the itch.
It's
too fucking cold. I'm done. Yeah. Give me some boots.
Yeah. It's one of those things, probably. It's like, I'm freezing here. Where'd you get the gun? Jesus.
Yeah, right. Alec Baldwin gave it to me.
Where does that get us?
Another one of Kurosawa's quotes that he said all the time is, and it was the name of the documentary, is, "It is wonderful to create."
So
that's his general tone of things. Kurosawa is himself a descendant of samurai. So this is always kind of something, a topic he's always wanted to touch on. So the two things he thinks a movie need to be are interesting and easy to understand.
Yep.
Those
that
two
makes
things.
Sense.
Sounds simple
yeah.
and easy.
Yeah, yeah.
But, mm-hmm.
but yeah.
if you have those as your goals,
not.
Then.
But interesting and easy is hard.
Interesting is hard.
Too.
Easy to understand should be easy, but frequently isn't, yeah. right?
Especially yeah, not if you're trying to be interesting. Then you're kind of fucked both ways.
Yep.
Well, I mean, half the time these people that create now don't even know what their story ends like. So, like, they're mm-hmm. going into shooting.
Oh, what are we going to do?
And then
the
they convince themselves, oh, people like weird movies these yeah. days. We'll just make it, so like, we'll hard to understand.
We'll combine it with something else and we'll call it art. And, you know, yeah, circle check
and
ourselves
And I'll buy
off.
It up. I'll go buy it up nice and easy.
And then if we get the marketing to just say how amazing it is, people will buy it. And that's all it is.
The world's a better place with A24 in it.
I agree. I'm making fun of them, but
I know.
They pump out some art house stuff sometimes.
Yeah. It's good.
So they had three screenwriters. Kurosawa was one of them. And they went through like three whole different ideas beforehand that kind of fell apart. One of which was A Day in the Life of a Samurai. And they talked about how he worked for like the king in a castle. And at the end of the day, he failed his job and he performs Harakiri, and that would be the end of the movie.
Oof.
They didn't quite like that one as much.
Yeah.
So they jumped to the opposite end of the spectrum. It's like, let's just like create a movie about five samurai that existed and tell their stories one by one. And then the guy wrote the full script. Or the team of two wrote the full script. Kurosawa read it and was like, you can't have a movie that's just climax after climax after climax. That does not work very well. So like with all these big ideas, they went through them. They finally had the idea for this one. And then they went to an inn and they shut themselves in for 45 days. Three guys at a table, 45 days. They didn't leave. They wrote the script to this movie.
Nice.
And this is
what, that's a cool
you know,
story.
Happens.
That's a cool story.
Lots of just general idea brainstorming, scripts being thrown out, and then just
you
got
to write the garbage
writing.
Before you get to the best, you know?
Yeah, and the way their process would be, so Kurosawa doesn't write too much, but he comes up with ideas. Like, he doesn't physically write things down, but he has ideas, and they would go around the table, and the two writers, like, one guy would write where he thinks the story wants to go. He'd pass it to the next guy. He would read it, and either that guy would say, like, this is good, and then continue the story, or he'd say, this is not good, and he would rewrite it. So every single page was, like, reviewed immediately and then either said, like, good or bad. And if it was bad, it was rewritten.
Wow.
And they just did that for 45 days until
and
this
now,
was a
fast
movie.
Forward, you can have Claude AI look at the first draft, have ChatGPT analyze it, and then have some other one rewrite it, and you can do it all by yourself in your home.
Oh, well, we're good.
Isn't that great? Fucking A, how the times have changed, huh?
Every character should be Chris Hemsworth. Your movie will be awesome.
That's
yeah. Yeah. Look, I got a movie for you. It's got Chris Hemsworth, every character. Yeah.
Sold.
Yeah. It's great because the budget, all we got to pay him is once, but he plays that's five right. characters.
No, what we have to do is just wait until he dies, and then we can use his likeness for free.
Oh, that's right. Genius. Just data mine it. We'll be fine.
Yeah. So the entire original score, Kurosawa worked with this composer before, and the guy composed an entire score, and the entire thing was rejected. Every single piece of the score rejected.
Wow, that sucks. That's tough.
Yeah. So the guy panicked, and he went back to like the trash can of what he was working on a bunch of this movie and other movies, and just pulled stuff that he didn't think was that good, and handed it all over, and some of that.
Made it.
Some of this, like not all of it, but like some of it. So all of the score of the movie was made from some of that stuff that he threw out, if that makes sense.
I mean, again, the score was completely forgettable. So other than that I like.
I thought the drums in the beginning were pretty good.
Drums good. Drums are good, right.
And then I do remember there were multiple scenes where there was like okay music with a terrible flute on top of it. Where it's like, this person knows how to play the flute? I don't think so. I'm pretty sure I could do this by like... It actually might be hard to make it sound.
Have you heard Japanese music, though? They do some of that.
There's a different tonality to it. Yeah. I don't know what the right word is, but that sounds off compared to like what we're used to hearing.
Yeah.
But
I'm just a dumb American over here, so.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think you've been wrong twice now. We're going to tally that up.
Right.
That one wasn't bad, though. I feel okay about that one.
No.
We're going to start keeping track. We're going to throw it up on the website.
Don't worry. That's right. You've been wrong. That's almost five times, Denny, now. Five wrongs.
That's unacceptable.
I know.
400 episodes.
The trivia guy's wrong. How can we trust him?
But there's a very different tonality. Like even the peasant singing at the end, it seems very like off key to us.
Yeah.
But that's a very common. I don't a very common sort of like pattern, or the it doesn't sound harmonious to us, but it. But in
finish the sentence, John. What are you going to say?
Yeah, well,
it's cultural. It's
not going to be able to finish the sentence.
No, no, no. It's cultural, and it just varies. That doesn't sound. It doesn't sound pleasing to us in terms of what we're used to hearing, but in other cultures, it does.
It's like Vegemite, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's acquired.
Australians love Vegemite, but nobody else knows why.
Apparently,
what the didgeridoo.
I like the didgeridoo.
Come on. Come on. Like didgeridoo.
Come on. It's cool.
That's pretty cool.
What else we got? The guy who plays the badass samurai. I started that sentence out nicely. The guy, sword guy, swordsman, originally rejected the role because he didn't know how to use a sword and he was afraid that he was going to look like an idiot. But Kurosawa convinced him that through camera tricks that he would look great. And look at that.
And he does.
He
had great poses with the sword. I do love that. I love how they'd like pull the sword out and then they'd hold it up like high.
Yeah.
It looks,
I'm not getting near that guy. That's for sure. Yeah.
It looks really cool. It's not like you're just pulling your sword out. You're like doing this thing with it where you're like, I don't know, like you're arcing it over your head. It looks, and you're like, you've got this like wide stance. It looks really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know how that works practically, but it looks like you're going to fuck some shit up.
Mm-hmm. That is true. All right. I'm almost done here.
Cool.
So there was rain written into the script for that last fight scene anyway, but right before they're about to start shooting it, it snowed.
Oh, fuck.
And they didn't want snow anywhere. So they had to go around and melt the snow with their water trucks. And that created the mud from the get-go.
Yay. Icy mud.
Icy mud. Freezing cold mud. Mud created from snow.
So, I mean, yeah. I feel like it's just like those are cool problems to solve because it's just like in the moment, what are we going to do? Well, we could do this.
And then
someone else
is
like, well, we could put water down. Right. Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, do we have the water? Like, we got 7 water trucks for all the rain. You're like, do it.
All right.
Do it now.
Yeah.
The village was filmed in 5 different locations.
Whoa.
Believe it or not. So
wouldn't have known.
That's just weird. Like, I mean, I don't know. They didn't
black
say
and
why
white does that for you because all you
yeah,
have
it's
is
easier to
image,
blend
you know,
it, right?
Shapes, right.
Right. But it's cool how they got it to blend. And the hardest part production wise was that the places were so far apart from each other that they needed to get different horses at each place. And they ran into issues with not only getting the horses, but matching the horses because they're different horses.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Anticipating this problem, they put makeup on the horses. So every time they got horses from a different place, they would like paint them or whatever, like
paint
put horse
so
makeup on them so they all looked the same.
What a tiny detail that none of us would have ever noticed.
Yeah. Well, you might have noticed it if it looked terrible. If you're
well,
like,
I guess if
that,
it was like an opposite
horse.
Color of before, I guess maybe
right.
It would. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just one of those things to keep it, you know, it's a lot of work to keep the movie cohesive. And it's important
and,
to keep
and
it cohesive
doing
so you
it,
get lost in the storyline.
And they're
know?
Doing it on set. They're not doing it in the post like people
right.
do now, right?
They did it before they started shooting it. They thought right. of the problem and they fixed it
right.
before it was an issue, which right. is, you know, thoughtful.
Awesome.
And the last piece of trivia I have is more damage stuff. This was throughout the movie, but specifically for the love scenes with specifically the woman character who falls in love with the samurai. They in the script, it was written that her eyes were glittering and twinkling. So they were trying to get light reflected off of her eyes in the shots. And nowadays they have easier ways to do that. There's like some technique that I think I've described in the podcast before, but it's super technical and I don't remember. But for this movie, they didn't have that. They just had giant mirrors that they like bounced the sun rays off of and pointed it in her face to get the reflection on. And she had, you know, people got damaged eyes. She had eye damage.
What?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh. Ugh. Poor girl.
Yeah.
Hey, but they got the shot,
They got the shot. That's what it's worth. And they actually
can't
so she
see
had,
anymore. She couldn't watch the movie, but hey, she looked great in it. You know,
it was great.
But they actually like so a lot of that forest stuff. We didn't mention how cool the forest, like where the love story takes place. Mm. That forest is crazy. There's just flowers all over the ground, and then there's just like vines that didn't look gross hanging all over the place.
And imagine
right?
seeing
like
that in color.
It did look nice.
I wish we had seen it in color.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks pretty damn cool.
It was.
But they shot there and then blasted her eyes with the sun, but then they had to recreate a set and do kind of studio lights instead of the sun. So they kept going with the stuff in her eyes, but they moved it to a studio because she was damaging her eyeballs.
So who knew the reason why she was crying for like 30 seconds was because she couldn't see. Yeah.
I wonder why she left that fucking thing.
She's actually
rather
good of an actor. She was just in pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My opinion of her in this movie is just lower. That's easy to do.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
So this is a stupid question, but would you put this movie in the top 250?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
hands down.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. If you're a film student, watch this one. If you're just a normal person, break it up into two nights like we did.
If I didn't like this,
damn good movie.
If somehow didn't like it, you'd have to still put it in because of its influence. But Jesus, it's still so good.
And it doesn't start off slow. I think if you're like worried about it being long and slow, it starts off fast. It starts off with running. Mm-hmm. It starts off with a quick intro, and then you're into really fun samurai
and funny
interviews, basically.
Things. Really funny things. Yeah.
Like, and it's not slow paced. It's quick. Like, it feels like it moves fast, which is
oh, come on. We messed out the best part. When he goes on the horse for the first time, I burst out laughing when the horse comes through and he's not on it anymore.
I expected nobody to come out, right? I thought him and the horse were going to crash, but it was just the horse.
Boom. What a great punchline that was. He had just talked shit, too. It was awesome. So that whole first part is a lot of things like that where they just have a really good bits. And so, worth watching and definitely starts out fast, like Denny said.
Yeah. Sweet. All right, guys.
What are we doing next?
19 down.
Long legs.
We're going to go to the theaters this week.
Woohoo!
Long legs.
Don't say any. I want to go into this one blind. All I know right now is it's a horror film and Nicolas Cage is in it.
Do you know who directed it?
Don't watch the trailer.
I haven't seen the other films he's done, and I've not seen it.
The director is the son of Anthony Perkins.
Oh.
The
guy from Psycho. Oh, okay. No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
Horror's in his blood.
I'm ready. I'm going to go Friday night.
I'm really excited to see Nicolas Cage in a shower.
I don't even know if we see him, but we definitely hear him.
Yeah, like Psycho, except it's Nicolas Cage. Yeah. You know, he's going to be like soaping himself up.
I don't know if we see him much, to be honest, because I can hear him in the trailer, but I didn't see him at all. So we'll see.
Don't tell me.
I don't know.
I'm going blind.
No, I think that's either on purpose or he's going to play even more of a scary character.
Nikki wants me to go to this party that I don't really want.
Well, now you're going to the movies. You tell us sorry.
Yeah. Well, no. That's the exchange.
You can blame me, John.
I'll go to that party, and then she's going to go see this movie with me, and I'm going to say, I don't know.
Nikki's
going to
go with you?
We're just going to go see it.
Oh, I don't know. Be careful. Man, this one might be a bad idea for that. My mom was going to go with me, and then I read up in it more, and I was like, "You're not coming."
You haven't read any of the reviews, John?
I've read nothing. I want to go in this blind.
You might get divorced if you bring.
Yeah,
Nick
I would
movie.
Say maybe skip that.
If she can handle horror movies, though, she'll be fine.
She's not a horror movie fan. Maybe I need to go
I would
do this
say,
one like on my own.
This seems like an extreme horror movie.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I don't want to know anything else.
Okay.
Don't
bring Nikki, though. She might hate you. She might leave.
Put it this way. One of the things that I read was each frame.
No.
Each frame is full of terror. That's it. Each frame is full of terror. So imagine that.
Okay.
Each frame. It's going to be scary as fuck is what I'm saying. That's all I know.
That'll be interesting.
It's going to be great.
Sunday night with nobody there.
Yeah, it'll just be
all the way in the
and
back.
The fucking guy again. And he'll be like, what is wrong with this dude?
Hey, yeah, right.
I'm going to bring my blanket, my horror movie blanket. I drape it over my lap so people can't see what I'm doing. And I just watch everybody from the back.
Oh, like a weirdo in Siberia. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. What do you mean you have a blanket over your lap so they can't see what you're doing? What is that about?
Nothing.
What
do you mean? John, why would you think that?
No, no, you're the one that brought a blanket, so they
look,
can't.
John,
see what
you
doing.
Must know. You go to the movies alone with just the fucking the guy.
I have
in
no
the back,
blanket.
Right?
I have nothing to hide.
Some of us
you
carry
and
a healthy shame with us.
John. We know.
I don't know what's going on there, Denny.
All right, boys, go see the movie.
All right, guys.
We'll see you next time.
Okay. All right. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.